Our scripture today is based on a reading from Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 9a. On the third new moon, after the Israelites had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the Israelites, 'You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation.' These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites." So Moses came, summoned the elders of the people, and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. The people all answered as one, "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to come to you in a dense cloud in order that the people may hear when I speak with you and so trust you ever after." May God add blessings to the reading and the hearing of God's word today. Finally, at last, I'm here. Say it with me. Finally. 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 Yay. Between the packing and the driving and losing the keys and nail biting over selling my house, please join me in prayer that it sells soon. Finally, I've made it here to Ruidoso. One of the first questions the search committee asked when they called me for an initial interview was, "How do you feel about the Southwest?" And I said, "Oh, I love the Southwest." And I do. My parents lived in Nevada for several years, and before that, we lived in New York. When I was a junior in college, they just upped and moved to Las Vegas. They had talked about it and talked about it after visiting it once, but I never thought they would actually do it, actually move. But they did, and they loved it. It was not so much Las Vegas's glittery gaudiness that drew them westward, but the warm weather and the wide open spaces. I came to love the mountains and the desert during my time there as well, so I was excited to get the call to come to New Mexico. This is the start of a journey that I hope will last a long time. Maybe not 40 years like the Israelites' desert wanderings, but we'll see. My aim is to hit 100 years. We are, in a way, like the Israelites, setting out together on a new adventure, going into unknown territory. The NRSV replaces the word desert with wilderness, but we get the gist of the matter. A vast and uncharted place, untamed and unrelenting. Better be ready for it. Better know what you're getting into. I imagine the Israelites were so excited to be free from bondage, finally, that at first, they didn't pay much mind to the harshness and starkness of their new surroundings. And on this first stop at Sinai, they got a good and godly welcome. God had drawn the people out of the land of Egypt and into this new territory. And God made a wonderful promise to them. If they obeyed God and kept the covenant God was planning to make with them, they were going to be God's prized possessions, or as the King James Version puts it, a peculiar treasure. The desert has a peculiar beauty with its windswept sand and sparse foliage and its challenges. It can be daunting to encounter the things about the desert that some people think are stark and dreadful, but to others, they're infinitely lovely and mysterious, worth discovering, worth respecting. And always, someone out there is an oasis for rest and refreshment. God knew other people would consider the Israelites an odd choice to become God's chosen people, but God had a purpose and a plan for this peculiar people, and it was all going to start right there in the desert. "Welcome to the desert, y'all," God said. Leading them was the 80-year-old Moses. We know his backstory, how his mother hid him in defiance of the Pharaoh's order that all baby boys should be killed, how the Pharaoh's own daughter drew him from the Nile, how he grew up in the courts of Pharaoh, but then he became a fugitive from the law, having killed an Egyptian that was abusing another Israelite slave. Moses had found refuge and new life in Midian until that day when he saw that burning bush and heard God tell him that he was the one who would free God's people from bondage. In obedience, Moses went back to Egypt and told Pharaoh forcefully, "Let my people go." It took the 10 plagues to convince Pharaoh to do so, and it took the parting of the Sea of Reeds to let the Egyptians know God meant business. Now here Moses was talking to God and sharing God's message with the people, a message that said, "Welcome to the desert. Here's what's coming up next. I have never seen a burning bush or heard God speaking from one. That's both good and bad. How does one get marching orders from God? God told Abraham to pack up and go where God wanted him to go. God told Moses to go back to the place where he was a wanted criminal and speak boldly despite his fear and despite being, as Moses put it, slow of tongue. Sometimes there's no burning bush. Sometimes there's just a burning in your heart, a conviction that you are going exactly to the place where God wants you to go, to do the things God wants you to do. You can argue as Moses did initially, but in the end, you are better off saying, 'God, send me and be with me, and I will do whatever you want me to do and go wherever you want me to go.'" And God says, "That's exactly what I want to hear. Welcome to the desert." So in a way, I feel very much like Moses. I'm sure he had some moments of doubt and worry about that move, and especially about leading all those thousands upon thousands of people. At the burning bush, he actually told God, "You might want to find someone else to lead the people, God." Oh, been there, done that. I had some restless nights wondering what I was getting into, leaving the comforting confines of Kentucky, moving across the country. "God, are you sure you want me to go there and lead your people in Ruidoso, New Mexico?" I confess I had a moment or two when I thought, "No, I'm going to change my mind. I'm scared. I'm freaking out. I can't do this." And then I remembered, if this call was from God, then surely everything will work out. Surely everything will go well. From the packing to the house selling to the drive, I had to trust in God, just as Moses did, and go forward, knowing God was going to be with me and lead me and guide me, just as God did with Moses. There are some other ways I want to be like Moses. I remember the story of how his father-in-law, Jethro, came to visit and found Moses spending all day listening to and solving all the people's petty problems. Jethro told him, "You're going to wear yourself out, dude. Listen, delegate. Don't take everything on by yourself. Enlist some help." I can relate to Moses like that because I've been known to take on projects all on my own without giving other people the chance to help or participate. Someone on the search committee asked me, "What is your biggest strength and what is your biggest weakness?" And I said, "My biggest strength and my biggest weakness are the same. I get things done. I can be focused and I follow through on what I've been asked to do, but I can be overly focused and overly intense to the exclusion of other necessary tasks. Then all of a sudden I have too much on my plate and I stress and strain and push until everything is done. I think part of me likes the pressure of having a deadline that comes from my years working at the Lexington Herald Leader newspaper, deadlines, smedlines. But despite the anxiety and the angst, I always seem to manage to get things done. So I know what I need to do, share the stress and the satisfaction of getting things done. We are all in this together. This is not just my ministry, it's our ministry. Not just my church, it's our church. We're called to work together and rely on and depend on and help one another. We must bring our different strengths to the table and make sure to support each other, even to the point of saying, "Ease up a little," albeit nicely. We'll work together to make sure no one person doesn't wear himself or herself out. Remember, we're all in this together, and we can and we will help one another find our places in this puzzle. Another way I want to lead like Moses is to stay humble like he was. It was said of Moses, "Now the man Moses was very humble, more so than anyone else on the face of the earth." I'm proud to be here as your minister and glad to become your friend, and I'm heartened by your belief in me. But I will always keep in mind that this is not about me, and I do not do what I do in my own strength. I depend on the inspiration and guidance of the Holy Spirit, blessed be she, for everything that I do, for ideas, for my sermons, for the words I speak. I even called on her when I was packing, can you make this thing fit in this box? And it would fit. I do not and will not take credit for anything I do in service to God. You will often hear me say thanks to the Holy Spirit for all she does to me, for me, for you, for us. Humility goes a long, long way, I've learned. And the word for spirit used in reference to the Holy Spirit is feminine. So it is perfectly acceptable to refer to the Holy Spirit as a she. But if that's not your deal, that's fine too. I want to be as connected to God as Moses was. I want to go up on the mountain and meet God in fire and smoke and thunder and bring that back to you, God's unedited, uncensored, unparalleled word. I want God to trust me as much as God trusted Moses. God trusted Moses to tell the people exactly what they needed to know, even if it wasn't always what they wanted to hear. Moses never compromised or held back, and he never tried to foist off his own words or thoughts as God's. That connection they had. The Bible says the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. How sweet would that be to know God not only considers you a servant, but also a friend. I want God to know that what God tells me, I will speak. And we're off to a good start, I think. God said, go, and I said, yes. So as we begin this journey together, I hope you will come alongside me and share it and enjoy it. I hope you don't be like the Israelites. For Moses, it seemed like every time he turned around, they were complaining about something. They were hungry. They were thirsty. They wanted to go back to Egypt. And let's not even talk about that whole golden calf thing. Moses turned to God in his dismay. This people be almost ready to stone me. Please don't stone me. Please let us talk things out and practice honesty and respect and openness. And let us listen to and learn from one another. Please let us remember that we are all on this journey together, and we all want what is best for First Christian Church. More important, we all want to do what is pleasing to God and what will begin to build God's kingdom right here in Ruidoso. What will let other people know that we are God's peculiar treasure amidst the peculiar beauty of the desert. And they are welcome to join us on this journey too. One way I will strive to be totally unlike Moses, I will strive to not lead you around in aimless circles for years and years and years. You get the point. But then again, that was part of God's plan for Israel, to teach them a lesson about trust and obedience. Please let us remember that God desires for us to walk a straight and narrow path of righteousness and not get lost wandering around without purpose. So let us link our arms and our hearts together and keep each other moving forward in faith. One of my personal mottos is take the adventure. Don't take the easy way out. Don't get complacent. Don't not try. Experiment. Listen. Trust the Holy Spirit. Talk to God. Rest. Share. Be ready for something amazing to happen. Welcome to, and we're on our way through, the desert. Let us pray. God be with us all on our journeys, especially this new one just beginning. Help us to listen and learn, to be humble and to be ready to go wherever you send us. Bless us as we take this adventure to and through the desert with you. Amen.